So, who here likes to be right? Any takers? Yeah, I think if we're all honest, it's pretty simple, right? We all have this severely stubborn streak in us that fights to be right, even to our own detriment. You see, some of us are on the other side of broken relationships, and we are fighting to be right, and we realized, even though we may have been right, we're wrong. Amen? We fight to be right even to our disappointment, not only our detriment. Any of you parents in here raised your kids and had that, I guess I would call it the disappointing epiphany? After speaking to a kid, you're like, I just sounded like my dad. I think I just sounded like my mom. And then that epiphany comes rushing through your mind. Could it be all those years ago when I was busting my parents' chops that they were actually right and I was wrong? Amen? To our detriment and our disappointment, we fight to be right, but if we're all honest, we don't get it right all the time. Amen? We just don't. And good news, because our scripture here today in Psalm 145 said, our Lord is righteous in all of his ways. And it's a pretty self-evident scripture, but when taken personally, it's powerfully profound. Because what that really means in its most base and simplistic interpretation is that our Lord is always acting right. Always. Emphasis is always, because his righteousness is one of his eternal characteristics or attributes, which means it transcends, it's outside of time. So a better way to say it is our Lord always has, in this thing we call eternity past, in this thing we call the now, and this thing we call the eternal future, he always acts right. I mean, come on, what a way to be right, amen? Amen? See, that was a little bit of a sucker punch, because we say amen. The problem is reconciling God's righteous ways, appropriating that he is right in all of his ways in our day of trouble, taking it personally when we see things in our life that don't seem right. That's the rub. There's a rub. See, we have, at least if you're like me, I said this on Wednesday night when I taught, you're probably a little bigger, but you probably are a lot like me as well, right? If you're like me, I have no problem watching God's righteousness and appropriating it in my life when I see other people getting their comeuppance, right? Yeah, God was right. He probably had it coming, right? When we read the Old Testament, I don't have any problem with watching God acting right. There, when the Israelites made their mass exodus out of Egypt, the sea opened up, and probably about 250,000 Egyptians got swallowed up by the Red Sea. And I say to myself, yeah, and I do believe this, that God was right in that. God is righteous in all his ways. Got no problem with it. Here's the problem, and here's the rub. I have a problem when stuff comes into my life that doesn't seem right, reconciling and appropriating God's righteousness in my life in my day of trouble. That's the problem, because we go through real stuff. And frankly, some of it doesn't seem right to me. Do you struggle with this? In our relationships? In our families, those broken and strained relationships, whether it is watching your kids go the wrong way and just the strain in this, trying to connect with someone who doesn't seem to be listening, your parents, your spouse. Tough stuff. Stuff that when you look at it and you look at these relationships, you're going, that's not right. How about our health? Man, the health of ourselves and our loved ones, when we look at diagnoses, when we look at MRIs, when we look at blood work, we look at it and we go, this is not right. Lord, this isn't right. Where's your righteousness? I have a hard time reconciling this. And if you too have a problem with this, you're in luck today. Because I'd really actually like to help us apply God's righteousness personally in our lives, in our day of trouble. And I want to encourage you. Some of this information has sustained me in difficult times in my life. So I want to encourage you as well as me today by helping us here in God's scripture. I'm just going to make two simple points. We'll go short here today. No pun intended. You guys need to wake up a little bit. Come on. It's always an easy laugh. Just make fun of yourself. It'll work. Two simple points. First one is this. If we want to have any success in our spiritual life, if we want to have any hope in reconciling God's righteous ways when we see things that we don't see from our perspective as being right, we need to be yielded vessels. The potter needs something to work with. And he'll either melt you up and soften you up with the blows of life, or we can just yield to his ways. Amen? So the first thing we're going to talk about is being a yielded vessel. The second one is a very simple point as well. It's that we cannot be a la carte Christians. We can't pick and choose what we like about God's eternal characteristics and leave the other stuff on the table. If you haven't figured this out yet in life, you don't order off menu with our God. You take what he gives you from his gracious hand. So two points. We need to yield, be yielded vessels, and no a la carte Christians. You ready? Here we go. Yielded vessels. Now listen. Sometimes, as a Bible student and a Bible teacher, I think oftentimes the trick is realizing that sometimes you just got to keep it simple. You know that acronym, like, just give them a kiss, keep it simple, stupid? Sometimes we get so wound up. This thing that we live in, this Christian life, isn't that complicated. The Lord says things like, if you have faith like a child. We make it so complicated, and let me just keep it real simple here on the yielded life. Sometimes we need to set things down and all this complicated verbiage and all of a sudden just like a kid. Let me help you out here. Who's bigger? Who's stronger? You or God? Something to think about when you're going through your day of trouble. Just set up your scale. All right? One side, let's go with God. Okay, here's God. And I know this sounds silly, but you know what? This actually helped me. Here's God, the creator and the sustainer of the universe. If you want to know like some of his work, there you go. And when I come up here, I see a lot of smiles, and I know you're not smiling at me. You're looking at that, aren't you? That is beautiful. That's some of the stuff that he spoke into existence. This whole universe that's spinning would spin off and implode without him actually also holding it together. Did you know that? That's one side of the scale. It's Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The creator and the sustainer of the universe. And then here's you and I. Where's it going to go? I don't know about you, but I have a hard time holding my day together. It's silly. Sometimes I go to work on Monday morning, and if a couple things go wrong right out of the hopper, I actually have to talk trash to myself and go, Dan, can I do 5 more days? Because I don't think I can make the week. Man, it's something to think about every once in a while. Who's bigger? Who's stronger? Listen, Who's bigger? Who's stronger? Put it on a scale. Sometimes I think we do not yield because we don't put God and self on a scale opposing one another. We have this overinflated view of the importance of what we can run and what we can't run. And the wise person understands where he fits. And I don't know if it's today's world where we can bring the world to us. We can manipulate the world with our thumbs. The world comes to us on the internet, our feed, our basket, our inbox. We can move things. And we get this silly idea that the world revolves around us. Or maybe you just insulate yourself with people who tell you what you want to hear. We think the world revolves around us and we have the ability to run it and to Jedi mind trick ourselves through our trials and through our difficult, through our things that don't seem right. Here's a free one for you. In case anybody was wondering, no, the world does not revolve around you. No, the Christian life is about him and about his people. It's about giving and not receiving. It's not about a self-directed life. There's nothing more misdirected than a self-directed life. Amen? And sometimes we just need to realize that we don't stack up. We have an overinflated view of ourselves. And if you're not careful, you will catch Ryanitis. Ryanitis is a real disease. I don't know if you know this. I've used this illustration before, but I have a son named Ryan. And there is a disease called Ryanitis, evidently, because upon bringing his now wife home from college to meet the parents, he brings Kaylee in to the front room. And if you've met Kaylee, she is a beautiful young woman, inside and out. Got a world-class smile. Just, you could just see the joy of the Lord on her. She just beams, right? So he brings her home from college. I'm meeting her for the first time, and I'm like, it took me about 2 minutes. And then I go, man, hey, Ryan, come with me. Let's go. I took him aside, and I said, hey, Ryan, listen, don't be an idiot. This could be the one. Like, listen, if you could just get her, this is the one. It's not going to get any. In all the fatherly wisdom, I could just. Don't be an idiot. And then he just deadpans it right back at me. He said, oh, Dad, don't worry. Don't stress. She's got Ryanitis. That's exactly what I'm talking about, son. Don't be an idiot. A little overinflated opinion of himself. Oh, man, if we aren't careful, we need to realize who the potter and who the clay is, Romans chapter 9. Verse 20, just a reminder, right? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? I love that. In your day of trouble, you might want to just put it on the scale and say to yourself, who are you, O man, to answer back to God? The creator and the sustainer of the universe. Will what is molded say to the molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over his clay? Amen? Who's the potter and who's the clay? Look, I know yielding's not easy. Not only easy because we have an overinflated view of ourselves, and sometimes we come down with Ryanitis. I get all that, but there's another thing that keeps us from yielding is we have a rebel tendency in us as sinners. Did you know that? We have this independent streak. Here's what I know. Because I am this rebel at times, and I fly my rebel flag of independence in the face of God Almighty. And here's what I know about the rebel. He does not come willing to the king. He's out rebelling. He's out putting it in the face of the God who sought you and bought you, and you're waving that independence flag at him, and he doesn't come easy. Man, I don't come easy sometimes. Because in my heart, if you leave me all alone, I'm a rebel. And I do my rebelling. And it's independence. And it makes me very, very miserable. And it makes it very difficult for me to yield. But in the end of the day, people, in the end of the day, we need to yield, sweetly surrender to our Lord. We need to let him have his way in us. We need to drink what he put in our cup, no matter how troublesome that cup is, how unright that cup seems. We've got to drink the cup, even if we don't like it. We need to look to our Lord. That's what he did. You want to know the ultimate example of yielding in God's word? It's the Garden of Gethsemane. There when our Lord, there hours before he would efface his cross, the shadow was looming over him greatly. He was about ready to hand himself over to men, to let them do what they would with him. And trust me, he knew what that meant. And in those moments, he was in great agony. It said he was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He's in there, sweating like drops of blood, in great agony. He said to his father, "Is there any other way? Would you just let this cup pass from me? Please, is there any other way?" He asked three times. But in the ultimate example of yieldedness and being sweetly broken to God's plan, he said these words that should echo not only in this place, but in our hearts. He says, "Not mine, but thine will be done." Amen? That's how you yield. Don't have to like it. We just have to drink it. So listen. If we want any hope of reconciling God being right when he doesn't seem right from our perspective, we have to remember, we have to start by being yielded, right? We have to yield. We cannot have an overinflated view of ourselves. We've got to set God and self up on a scale and see who comes up lacking. We can't remember the rock from which we've been hewn, amen? But we also have to put our rebel flags down and bend a knee to the one who sought and bought us, amen? That's a yielded vessel. God can do something with a yielded vessel. It will change your attitudes and perspectives for the better. Trust me, I've been right here. This isn't something I looked up. This is something I discovered for myself and I want to share with you. It has to start with being yielded. But it's more than that. We also cannot be a la carte Christian. That's our point number two. Man, we cannot pick and choose the part of God's righteousness we like. The part that we get that benefits us and leave the stuff we don't like on the table. Again, you cannot order off menu with our Lord. He has a perfect package for us. You got to take it in its entirety. And I'll tell you, one thing that really helped me with this, it sustained me in some dark days. It helped me not be a spoiled little brat, being an a la carte Christian, a hypocrite, a pale and anemic version of what God wants me to be when I just pick and choose the parts of God that I want. Here's something to think about to help you with that. It helped me. Is that your righteousness, God's righteousness, the one that allows trouble into our lives, is the very same righteousness that affords you your salvation and your forgiveness. Those are pretty important things. They're paramount things that we all love. And I think if we continue to think about God's righteousness in our salvation and in our forgiveness, it'll help us reconcile his righteousness as it works its way out in our day of trouble. Amen? So first, our salvation. God's righteousness is eternally linked to your salvation. Did you know that? And perhaps now, more than any time, I don't know who's here. I don't know who needs some good encouragement. Or if you're just filling a box this morning, I have no idea. But I have been going through a dark time, a deserty time in my life lately. And I want to encourage you with these words, in these words alone, right here. Did you know that Jesus saves? Jesus saves. And he doesn't save so that bad men can become good men or good men can become great men. He saves so that dead men could live and be born again and be transferred into his marvelous light like that. Amen? Jesus saves. Sometimes we need to just remember that the redemptive price that Jesus Christ paid on his cross satisfied the very righteousness of God for sinners that were dead in their sins like you and I. Amen? Therefore, his righteousness is being shown out or manifest out in our life when we're saying we're saved. We're saying God was right by saving us. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 is a gem. It's the Apostle Paul saying something very simple here. He's saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. For in it, here's our word, the righteousness of God is revealed or manifest out from his subjects who have been redeemed. Have you ever thought about your salvation like that? You're walking around. One of the things we're doing is telling the world, showing it out, revealing it, manifesting that God was right in justifying us and accepting us through Jesus Christ. We're saying, you know what? He was right. Now, come on. Our salvation will forever be linked to God's righteousness. And more than anything, we're just little icons running out, echoing out, standing for, symbolizing God's righteousness, that he was right by justifying us and accepting us through the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, we need to remember this. When you're hurting, Jesus saves. And he was right to do so. You start building up a little confidence in Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to remember that he was acting right in saving us dead sinners. Amen? And he made us his very righteousness. Not only was he right, he transferred his righteousness to us. Now, come on, that's insane. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It said, listen, he who knew no sin became sin so that what? That we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, come on. I know it's 7:20 or whatever it is. Is it 8 o'clock yet? That's a miracle. That somehow we went from dead sinners to alive believers in Jesus Christ, to God actually looking at us through the lens of Jesus Christ and seeing us perfectly righteous. That's a miracle. And I know I'm easily excited, but that's exciting. It's the greatest miracle in the Bible. You can read the Gospels all you want, people, and there's some crazy things that happen. And you can read the first part of Acts and, whoa! You know what the greatest miracle in the Bible is that he made you and I dead sinners the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Can I at least get one? Amen. Oh, man. Sometimes we need to remember that Jesus not only saves, but he saved me. And it's worth remembering. Life before Jesus, the running and the wreckage, the darkness and the despair, the helplessness and the hopelessness that we had in and of ourselves, he offered us a saving, a rescuing. And by faith, we took it, and we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? When you're getting it real good sometimes, and you're having a hard time realizing that God's still under control, he's still right, you might want to review in your mind your own salvation story and the salvation story of the people you love. It might change your attitude and perspective about what you're going through. Amen? Man, look at me. I'm up here teaching the Word of God. My mom and dad, when they got married, they were not saved. They were just living their lives. Until one day, my dad, sitting on a couch in a cul-de-sac in Los Angeles, California, heard an evangelist named Billy Graham, all by himself, got saved. It's like God's Spirit opened his eyes of his heart, and he goes, ah, he got saved, all by himself. I loved hearing him tell this story. Even when he was old, he would just light up. He said, Dan, I went right out the door and I started knocking on doors to my neighbors and said, did you know that Jesus saves? And they said, door slam. He'd go to the next one. No, you got to understand, Jesus saves. And door would slam. He just goes all the way. He goes, I just couldn't get over it. Salvation stories. If he gave us nothing else, he saved us. We were dead men walking. And he saved us. He born us again from above, transferred us into his marvelous light. And because of that, we're showing out his righteousness, and that righteousness has been imputed to us through Jesus Christ. Yeah, same righteousness that allows trouble into your life. Do you see how that starts to work on your mind and gives you a little confidence in Jesus Christ? We need to remember our salvation stories, how in the end of the day, we were dead men walking, and he turned our graves into things like gardens. He turned our ashes into things like beauty. Amen? That's our God. He's the only one that can do that. Jesus saves. Remember it. Amen? It's linked to God's righteousness. The other thing that's linked to that is forgiveness. Anybody here like forgiveness? No, I'm full. Cannot. No, thank you. Never met a person that doesn't like forgiveness. That restoration of fellowship that we have with each other and with our Lord when we confess our sins, that we break from our sinning, our rebelling. You like that? Yes. Or are you full? We all like forgiveness. And in 1 John 1:9, such a great verse. It's a verse that's impregnated with opportunity. Because it starts with the word if. If, maybe you will, maybe you won't, but if the option's there, what an opportunity. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And I want to encourage you today that just in the original is the same Greek word as righteousness. So you could very easily say this out of this opportunity. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Amen? He's righteous. What we're doing and what we're saying when we accept forgiveness is that God was right to forgive us. Faithful as well, but he was also right. What an opportunity. An opportunity for us to get our forgiveness. But it's an opportunity that's only available in part by God's righteousness. And you guessed it. The same righteousness that allows things into our life that don't seem right to us. Amen? Forgiveness. It seems to me that I want to have my cake and eat it too. That I want to be an a la carte Christian. I really like my salvation. I'm so thankful for it. So thankful that he sought me and he bought me. I love the forgiveness. Man, I mess up. I mess up. And I'm glad about the opportunity that if I get myself right, confess, say the same thing about my sin that God does, that just like that, he is faithful and right to forgive me and wipe it clean yet again. I love that. But I'm just going to tell you right now, it's hard for me to reconcile the righteousness of God when I look at things that don't seem right. When I don't have my loved one to say goodnight to or good morning to or to ask a Bible question to, amen? Like, we want to have our cake and eat it too. We want our salvation. We want our forgiveness working for us, but we don't want any part of that. And I'll tell you what that makes us. It makes us hypocrites. It makes us a pale and anemic version of authentic Christianity that God saved you for. Did you know that? And if you didn't notice, the world is really good at sniffing out hypocrites. In fact, it's something else to remember. The only Bible and the only Jesus a lot of people see is you and I when we're at work. It's you and I when we get squeezed and we get pinched and we get crushed by this world. It's the only Jesus they see. And in part, sometimes they see hypocrites because we're just not yielding and we're just not taking Jesus wholesale, not part and parcel, not a la carte, right? In closing, I want to say this to you guys because I'm right with you. I crafted this message for myself. That's the cool part about only doing it every once in a while. What do I need help with? Let's see. It becomes so much more real, right? I want to be perfectly clear with you. I'm not minimizing the stuff that you go through. I'm not glossing over real pain and real suffering that we go through, because here's what I notice. If you have eyes to see, when you really listen to people, and if you really examine your own life, there's a lot of bad stuff that happens. Real pain. The problem is, most of the time, we don't care. But if you pay attention, everybody's going through something. Everybody's hurting. Life can kick you down. And when you're squirming on the ground and you try to get up on your knees, it can kick you right in the face. Is it just me? Or am I speaking to anybody this morning? Life is hard and I'm not glossing over it. I'm not advocating you for you to be disingenuous and say, God's righteous. I just came down with cancer. Or God is right. I just lost my spouse. It's not what I'm advocating for. I'm not advocating for that at all. What I'm advocating for and what has helped me is that I'm advocating us for to give it. To give it all to him who cares. And take God's righteousness as a whole. Give it to him. Here's what I know. God's a righteous God, but he's more than that. He's also a good God. He's a good God. He's perfectly balanced. And in his goodness, guess what comes out of his goodness? His mercy and his compassion. Thank you, Jesus is right. He says in Scripture, speaking of himself, that he's a merciful and a compassionate Lord. One who will not break off a bent reed. He is one who will not snuff out a smoldering wick. This is our Lord. Yes, he's righteous, but he's good and he's merciful and he's compassionate. And if you feel like you are smoldering right now, like you're about done. I had some days like that. I feel like, man, that wick's about ready to go out. I'm about at the end of myself. I'm about ready to lose it. He wafts you back and he smokes you back up again. You ever felt bent over? Like you're about ready to be broken half? Ah, he just gently puts you back up. Here's what I know about our good and merciful Lord, who doesn't break us off and doesn't snuff us out, is that when you decide to give it to him, a funny thing happens. He takes it. He takes it all. Again and again, when we give it to him, he takes it. And in that broken state of a smoldering wick and a broken reed, he takes it. And he makes us strong and gritty enough to take his righteousness as a whole. Amen? That's what the Apostle Paul says. I don't know if you remember, he had this thorn in his flesh. And he said, Father, just take this from me. Take this from me. Please. You should see how much work I could do for you, God, if you just stop buffeting me with this. Take it away. And the Lord's words, again, should echo in our hearts. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. That in your weakness, in your brokenness, I will be made strong in and through you. Amen? That's what I'm advocating for, is that we give it to him. To do what only he can do, and that's mend our broken lives and help us reconcile things that aren't right in our lives, because he's the righteous God in all his ways, amen? And I'll conclude with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 9. We are sore pressed at every point, but not hemmed in. We are at our wits' end, but never out of our hope's end. We are persecuted by men, but never abandoned by God. We are knocked down, but never knocked out. Amen? The person who can live this attitude right here is one at the very least has come to terms with God's righteousness in his life. It's a person who's letting God's transcendent power work out of a broken life. It's a person who's letting go and letting God be right in his life, come hell or high water. Amen.